Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight?
All in all, I'm doing pretty good. It is storming right now, heavy wind, rain, lightning, thunder, the whole works. Hopefully the internet will hold up, fingers crossed. The storming's supposed to last till about 2 a.m., which would be fine with me as long as it's nice and clear by tomorrow.
That sounds just like a bunch of... Yep. I got it. Oh, goodness. It looks like we have a good...
Exactly. You know, I like the rain. I just don't like it to be quite, too much of the other stuff. But Yeah, so and how is your day going?
My day is just wonderful. I was just going to say, you know, it looks like we have a really good board for poetry tonight. Just nice stuff.
Yes, great prompts you put up for inspiration. I got a chance to read through some of the rites in the last few days, and definitely some top-notch, you know, top-shelf stuff, that's for sure.
Right, right. I agree. I absolutely agree. So, we got plenty of it. I just got another last-minute poem, which was wonderful. Always appreciated. And, it should be a good show. We never know. I that's where that works some days. But it's all good. It's all good. Oh, my.
You want to tell people a little bit about your topic?
I was just getting ready to. How about it? I've had these prompts floating around in my computer for quite a while, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with them. This is only part of the ones I have, about half, I guess, of all the ones I have in the folder. And I thought, I really want to use these. I really want to use these. But I didn't want anyone to take it in any kind of I didn't want anybody to put up anything I didn't think was appropriate. So we all know I'm the queen of that, right? Not really. Anybody who's ever talked to me knows I'm not the most appropriate. So I went through and I weeded them out and I put them up for a Tuesday, figuring we could really get to. I just wanted people to see the same beauty in the imagery as I did. The images were beautiful. Some of them were so soft. And the ones with the sequoia tree and the cherry trees, and I just found that they were so wonderful that I felt that it might make some good fodder for someone. And apparently other people took to the imagery. And I like that. I like that. So the prompts, they seem to go over well. Some of them I was kind of surprised. I was surprised people didn't, some of the ones I put up, But, it's like any other prompt you put up. Sometimes you, look at one and you go, yeah, I really like that one. And that's the one nobody writes to. I don't quite know why, but it just makes me chuckle. But there's plenty of them to choose from. So I liked it. Lots of good stuff. Good stuff. So I don't know, but I guess we might as well get this party started. Always with me, this is a mixture of artists. I don't even know who they are. I'd be looking for a picture of a pencil, and I'd come across something, and I'd grab it and throw it into a folder because I'm like, oh, I don't want to lose that. So, then I'd go, and I'd find maybe a couple more, just on free image searches on, on the web. And, I just accumulate them.
Hey,
so
Phil?
Yes?
I'm really sorry to interrupt, but my power just went out, and I don't have internet.
Well, good.
So I'm going to go see if there's a switch. So I hope you don't mind me abandoning you in hopes that it's an easy fix. I'm going to go check the circuit box.
Sure, no problem. Okay.
And I'll come back, of course, to let you know if that didn't work.
Okay, no. Sounds good. Okay. Well, on that note, here I am. And I think I'll read the first poem, just for the sake of, not talking to myself. Okay, this poem is called Lantern Lanes, and it is by, let me put it up first, so that way I can, it's by Blue Wright 76. I love the prompt that she wrote, too. I thought it was just a very pretty image. So here we go. 18 in earnest, She sewed beautiful camisoles, sold them plenty on cold black days. Then one day, on chaotic countries, burning skies, she saw ashes rain, bathed flowers in clingy stone dew, her camisoles now gray. Unfazed, she sewed them yellow, yet no one saw them colors. All in night's pitch haze, no papers to exchange. Ejected, threw the burnt crumbs away, picked her old neighbor's night rice bags, chose the lane where sweat fell not, where the naysayers never met her. And as she turned the corner, heaving at life's dark street, an ancient hag followed her. What fault of mine, the skies burn and spew, old crone at the deathbed, won't miss a few marshals, are even stolen again. At every call from empty pits of her sad, hungry being, then the ancient man came closer. As the poor neighbor passed, went more into the deserted street, in silence, swollen waves, she rowed her boat. Now knives, hidden zealous, as feared theft, the ancient voice still whispered over her sad shoulder. Turn of decades of 50 and more, more souls lost coins to her. Silk robes, unadmired, she adorned, weaved under the force of her follower, could take it no more. Turned and faced the wrinkled eyes. Why do you prey on mine thoughts? Lady now burst in anger. Loved you, girl, with camisoles on the black fateful day when the clouds doomed us. Prayed to God and gave you mine ears, my unburned feet and soft hands, wasted a life on you, a prayer on you gone waste, ancient wise sage said. Don't fear, come with me, dear child. Let's find the lighted lane. Wordlessly stunned as she followed, why didn't you acknowledge me at the shallow stormy seas, he said. You have watched wasted 30 years. Foolish child. He smiled now, and she found the lantern lane. End point. An interesting story. I like the path that the story took. You know, about the old hag, and you know, the old man, and you know, apparently there was a fellow in here that came in near the end, you know, asking about why didn't you acknowledge me? You know, wasted pretty 30 years. You know, I do, and she says in her AN that it reminded her of one of the stories from the Orient and inspired her to write the story as well. And I think this story was just, as I said, nicely done. You know, it could use a little spelling and maybe a little grammar, but I think the intent of this is very well addressed. So nice work, Blue Light 76. I really enjoyed it and appreciate you sharing with us all. And since, we have another caller. I believe this is Dexter. Dexter, is that you coming to save the day?
I don't know about save the day, but call in. Just an AO.
Here he comes. Yes. I'm going to write that on the other wall, just so you know.
Just to balance things out for me.
What's that on? What did you say?
I didn't hear what you said. I said just to balance things out. It says I'm crazy on the wall. It's got to say save the day on the other wall. It's a balance out.
I don't mess around. I make sure we even up the odds there. You know.
Yeah. I agree.
Hey, you keep up the good work, I'll get a can of paint and we'll fix the other wall.
Yeah.
I'll work with you.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Did you happen to hear that poem, Dex? Well, story poem?
I did not. I came in a little bit late. I'll leave a written comment on it.
Right. Gotcha.
I don't want to just jump in on something I didn't hear.
Well, I don't know why. No, I'm only kidding. But I'm glad that I'm glad to have you here. Pam is going with her past outage. Always interesting in my life. Can I tell you what? I have a poem if you're ready to read it.
I am ready to read.
All right. I like it. I got to find the room. Okay, here we go. And this piece is called A Moon Festival by Daniel Duhem. Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is A Moon Festival by Daniel Duhem. Chi-Chi was as lovely as a water drop from the moon. She learned the fan dance from her mother, Hugh. So audiences were entranced by her, and many vowed to get her as a concubine. But Chi-Chi's heart only belonged to Hugh Young, a peasant boy that she saw every day, who traveled the streets with a cart of vegetables. Chi-Chi always looked out from her window to see him shouting water chestnut for sale, dreaming of meeting him. Chi-Chi planned to see him at the annual moon festival, when lovers meet to look at the moon and eat a meal together by candlelight. When the festival drew near, Chi-Chi got excited. She went to the market to purchase makeup and sweetmeats to tempt his palate with sugary-coated delights of seduction. Hugh Young was also excited to join in the moon festival because he might find a mate to cook and clean for them both. Chi-Chi spent hours putting on her makeup because she wanted to look beautiful for Young Ho. So I think that's Young Hugh. So that he would fall into her spell of attraction.
Cut it out.
I know. All right, give me a full moon rose. Start the festival in the fall. Everyone's dressed in the finest clothes, men in silk kimonos with fine woven silver and gold thread. Women in their finest robes of jeweled stones and expensive makeup. The atmosphere seemed charged with electricity. Men and women gathered to eat, then look up at the moon until daybreak. Sorry. Captivated by the spectacle of the night, Chi-Chi didn't hesitate for a second after seeing Young Ho. And approached him with sparkling eyes of passionate love. Young Ho was nervous at first, but gave in to Chi-Chi's charms, and the both of them became lovers brought together by an enchanted moon festival. End of poem. I'm sorry, Daniel, that one caught me off guard.
Keep it up. I'm going to take my son down the wall.
I couldn't. It's like one of those things where you're almost laughing in church, you know, or it was like you just couldn't stop. Sorry,
sometimes
Daniel.
Sometimes when you get started, you get a chuckle because you doubt yourself, and then all of a sudden you just can't recuperate. It's awful. I know.
Yeah.
I thought this was a good story, though, by Daniel. I do. I think, I like the fact that, he had this moon festival, and he kind of worked it all around that, and I thought that was intriguing. The image that he chose was a beautiful image, I thought. Pretty neat. And it looks like a night sky behind her, so I could see where he could come up with something like a moon festival from it. There was a lot of detail in this. I thought that he... His imagery was good, the sale, the vegetable cart, and he built into the story, and I thought that was pretty clever, and I thought it was nicely done. I think he went that extra stretch with his details throughout. So I think it was a nice job, and thank you, Daniel, for that. I appreciate the entry for the contest and the use of the poem for tonight. Definitely. You want to go ahead, Dex?
So did his, did the, it, was that on purpose? Did the did the name switch from Hugh Young to Young Ho, or was those two different people?
No.
Chi-Chi's heart only belonged to Hugh Young. And then it went because she wanted to look beautiful for Young Ho.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. It could have been.
That's why. Now that I'm looking at it, the name actually switched backwards. So that's what kind of just threw me off. I thought it was a misprint at first, but then it keeps rolling with it. Either way, I think it's a beautiful story. I'm not going to focus on that too much. But that was kind of what had thrown me off. The full night, I thought that he captured the whole essence of, Chinese culture within this. How he kind of says to look to find a mate, to cook, to clean for them both. He kind of captured in their gender roles that they do believe in. And these festivals, and you could just picture the entire kind of atmosphere of the evening is this kind of beautiful kind of glow lantern lit festival. You could almost see it how he was describing it here. Atmosphere seemed charged with electricity, but I thought it was a beautiful rite of two lovers, and I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I thought it was a neat story in the fact that Chi-Chi, really wanted to be with him and was working towards that. And then, as the story progressed, shows he was looking for someone to partner up with. And, in the end, she got what she wanted. And I thought that was nice. And, the main thing, I don't know, could have been, I don't know.
Or is that two people? I don't know. I'm trying to read it a few different times if it's Hugh Young was a previous guy, but I think that it's the same person. I just think that I don't know if it.
Young, Hugh Young sounds like an Oriental name, but then when he goes Young Ho, he could be speaking the fact that he was young. And why he said, I'm not sure. Maybe, I don't know.
But then he does it a few times, too. That's what the only part that threw me off is that he does that another two times or something like that. So I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't a misprint in the second time. Either way, Daniel, it's a great write. Maybe message me and let me know if I'm wrong about that. But I apologize about it just threw me off for a name.
Right. Yeah, I think it was a nicely done piece. The story was nice. It was really sweet. I like that idea of the Moon Festival. I thought that was pretty clever. Okay, well, Lisa thinks Miss Pam is not back yet. So, let me grab her. Let's see what happens here. Now, we're going to take this one very short. But, we all know I like the shorter one. I'm good at them.
Yeah.
And this is by Dmitry Kropotkin, and it's called The Sun Also Sets. And it's an intriguing image that he chose. So here we go. Every face is storied fingerprints, floorboards or failing, clean streets, festive lights, and cavernous chests, Byzantine rites building palaces on the moon, nimble fingers seeking warmth, dragging fingernails of anxiety, bitter bouquet of nostalgia and decay. Even lovers ask, why bother? And follow. Nice piece. He has written Japan, Decline, and Alienation. So, it's an interesting reference point. Well, those three are interesting reference points. When you look at the image, it's not near as soft as the last couple. The last one wasn't extremely soft. The first one we read really was. The image was very soft and had a bit of innocence to it. But this one, she's smoking her, what looks like a pipe. And she just looks a little harder, around the edges. but a nicely written piece for sure. Go ahead, Doug. You can come in first. I really just led into the ending and being silly.
Yeah. I thought that the way that he captured it, a storied fingerprint, every face, a scoreboard of their failings. I guess that's just such an incredible way to put it, you know, of all of our wrinkles, maybe our scars, things like this. Thought that was very profound writing to start off the piece. And Festival Light, Carnivora, Cavernous Chest, Bitter Banquet of Nostalgia and Decay. Even lovers ask, why bother? I get the feeling also that maybe, Nimble Finger Seeking Warmth, you know, like you said, that there's something to do with that pipe. I know that there, in the past, nostalgia, maybe in the past there had been, like, you know, opium dens and different kind of seedy places that maybe this woman is supposed to be representing. And I could be wrong on that. I hope that that's not offensive, but I that's what I think, that he kind of took the piece, but I thought it was also a lovely, lovely writing.
Right. I'd agree with you. I think that it was a little bit sophisticated in thought, because it's not just about two people and how they interact, or a few people and how they interact. This is more about bits and pieces of society, the space they live in, the things that go on around them.
Yeah.
You know, clean streets and the lights and the cavernous chests and Byzantine rites and all of that. And I think it just kind of is a little bit it's a little different. I thought that it was just nicely pulled together, and I thought it was a good addition to the show tonight. Definitely. So
yep.
I want to thank Dimitri for sharing that with us tonight. And let's see, Pam is back, so I'm going to put a poem up for her to read, since she thinks that she's just going to take half a night or something here. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. The most I can do is listen and comment. Sorry, until because it's
Put one up for me. I have no problem reading for Pam. Pam always covers.
I'm not going to give you a girly piece, that's for sure.
Right.
I could send it to her phone and really mess her up. But
I was really looking forward to hearing Dexter do his girly voice.
Yeah, well, even that's for a finale. Yes, I am. Okay.
I'll end up on another ladies' room wall after that.
We didn't say where the wall was, Dex. You just blew it. You're telling everybody.
Yeah.
Now they know where to look for it. Silly boy. Okay. I'll tell you what, here's a piece for you, Dex. It's by Dan Ellison, and it's called Kim. So whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and read that.
Okay. This is Kim by Dan Ellison. The Orient stole my innocence, as American as apple pie. Alternate currents, passing sparks, we caught each other's eye. My first real fling. A hell of a thing. Both knowing it could not last, she burns my retinas still. Warm afterglow of sunset past. End poem. You there, Phil?
Are you on mute, Phil?
I am. I'm here. I just got here. But Pam should have known that, because I was calling back in on the host number.
Yes.
Oh, are you?
So, I'm sure that was a wonderful read. I had to like disconnect and call. So, Pam, do you want to comment on it first? Since I actually didn't hear
anything. Absolutely. Wonderful read there, Dexter. There's something very comforting about the phrase, American as apple pie. You know, I think it's just the fact of thinking of a warm baked pie. What I liked is the nostalgia of this, the idea of a love that was once had. And, you know, it just kind of brings to mind the whole idea, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. And I really can't pick out a particular line, but just share my thoughts and the general feeling I got from it, which is, it absolutely is a beautiful write.
I found that, Sam. I know you read it, Dex, but give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, everybody kind of remembers their first time or their first kind of fling. I would imagine some were better than others, more so in the latter, but this guy seems like he had a very good experience, and it's somebody that he'll hold fondly. You know, it's something that kind of, especially if it's shared between two people as their first time, it's something that'll kind of stay with them forever. And, you know, if it happened at such a young age, or, you know, you kind of never knew. When he said that knowing it would, could not last, you know, my thoughts kind of go to whether or not one of the cultures would maybe not accept it as far as the families. When he says American is apple pie, does that mean that maybe his family wouldn't accept it? Maybe her family wouldn't accept it? Or is that saying that they were both so young that they just, that, you know, when it just happened, there's no chance of it lasting? But obviously it's something that stuck with them, and I thought it was a great write.
I like this piece when I read it. You know, the Orient stole my innocence. And I went, okay. And I looked down at the image, and the image itself has a very innocent quality about it. It's very mild. I wouldn't say timid necessarily, but it has that innocence about the way the image was created. You know, the soft colors and, you know, the flowing down, you know, it has a certain something to it. It's not provocative. And I think that, you know, maybe the thought of something coming of age, you know, in passing, I think that maybe that's where this was at the beginning. You know, alternating currents, passing sparks, we caught each other's eye. You know, and when you're young and you just see things differently, and when you run into someone that just sets your world afire, you know, and makes your heart pound, all of that. I think for whatever reason, well, those knowing it could not last, you know, heaven knows, you know, maybe just because they were young, or maybe because they were from opposite worlds. Heaven only knows, but I thought that it was really, it was nicely done, and it was a great brevity. I think that, you know, he did a nice job with the fact that, you know, it's not a big, long, you know, piece. I think that it definitely sparks thoughts in the reader. You know, it has them thinking about the different possibilities of what he was referencing. So I think he did a great job. So awesome job, Dan, and thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it very much. Let me see what I have now. I guess I'll read the one that I was going to have Pam read. Since she thinks she's on vacation, the nerves.
Enjoying the good life.
That's it. What'd she say?
She's enjoying
said,
the good
I'm
life.
Enjoying the, yep.
Oh. She's probably sitting on the sofa eating bonbons or something while we're working hard, Dex, you know.
Yeah, I've got candles lit, so I might as well pour some wine and romance myself.
There you go. Okay, so this next piece is by Rain 474, and it's called A New Me. As the wind blows, the arms of ebony slowly spreads its sweet hue. allowing the natural bulbs where its fluorescence glow, stealing away the gloomy look, shimmering showers of snow. That's power to paint, hopefully hue, as you sail to a new town hall, breathing life to the cells of the trunk who has drank from the cup of Cupid. It's in dazzling vermilion, waltzing in me in an air full of color, making her cheeks to blush as they inch to reduce their gap, while the cherry blossoms pour like the showers of rain, embracing the essence of love in its tiny transparent pockets, which melts down on her skin, breaking the alabaster auto of intricate aroma of intimacy, like the sweet fragrance of life. Right under the lady of the night, oh, the sublime glowing night, come and kiss me one more time as the cosmos sings the hooky chime. And boom. Hi. Thank you. I think I'm going to start with you again, Pam. I think you're at the top of my little list here.
All right. Well, that one was just absolutely beautiful, the way it combined the different senses. Like, you know, as you were reading it, I could picture the imagery of the cherry blossoms falling like rain. And that was absolutely beautiful. And when you brought in the scent and, the, you know, the aroma and, you know, just there was a certain, I guess, a romanticism to it. It felt like another
right.
one where somebody was, you know, looking back. And, I always enjoy and appreciate Rain 474's writing. And with that one, I like how it's the idea of examining the beauty of someone and of a place.
Right.
So beautifully written and very well done.
Thanks, Colin, Pam. And Dex, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, I thought that this was a beautiful, thinking about the trees that, I don't know if they were cherry blossoms, but I'm assuming that the cherry blossoms are very similar and they don't last long. They're beautiful when they bloom. They have those little petals from the pictures that I've seen. But as the wind blows, the arms of ebony slowly spreads its hue. I believe that he's talking about the arms of ebony as, you know, the tree, a new me. I don't know if he's talking about a new me just being the tree blossoming for that little stretch of time, and dazzling vermilion, the waltzing air full of color. You know, when you see that wind blow the tree and it just drops all of those like rain shower of petals, you know, he's capturing that moment here so beautifully. I thought it was just very skillfully written and very well done. And now I want to know if I think we got cherry blossoms here in Minnesota. I don't know. Some of them I've seen have been all white, the trees I'm thinking of,
right.
but they're very similar, I think. I don't know if that's a cherry blossom
right.
or not, or a type of one, I guess. I mean, but I thought this was very well done.
Very good, very good. I know I've seen, there's a couple of rites coming up. They're talking about a sakura. And I don't know if that's a type of tree, thinking it might be. And I don't know for sure if that's a cherry blossom or not. I know we had a weeping cherry, and it was pink. And we have an ornamental cherry, and it is pink. But the
yep.
weeping cherry tried to revert back to being a cherry tree and not a weeper. And it looked like it was a whiter kind of a blossom. So I'm not 100% sure if I think that they can be pink because I've seen a lot of cherry blossoms
yep.
in different settings that appear to be pink. So, yeah, I don't know. What the hell do I know?
I'm just thinking that they behave the same way as the kind of, I don't know if it's the white kind of relative we have here, because the ones that we have bloom here, the ones that bloom these white flowers, the flowers are amazing on the tree, but they last for about a weekend. And so you're waiting around for that weekend almost to come to see those trees bloom.
Yep,
I'm just assuming, that's what I'm assuming
yeah.
the cherry blossom might be similar in way they act. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, the two we have, you know, they last until that first windy day or it rains and everything starts to just fall down like, you know, they just flutter to the ground.
Yeah.
And then you mess his whole tank. And it kind of needs, you know, for a short time. But, yeah, I thought this was a really nice rake. And the image that that Rain had chosen, I thought was very interesting because if you look at it, it has the woman and the tree, but the woman at her feet, they're the roots of the tree. So it's kind of it represents the woman and the tree being one from what I'm gathering in the image itself. And this is, you know, love, life, and transformation. So that's an intriguing thought right there. But I did enjoy the way she put this together, different imagery. I liked her use of alliteration in different spaces in the poem itself. As the wind blows, the arms of ebony slowly spread its hue. And, you know, I look and I see the woman's arms and I see the branches. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to, like, where this is all going to go. Breathing life to the cells of the trunk was drank from the cup of Cupid. That's an interesting set of lines there as well. Because, again, she's pulling the tree and the human quality or element into it. And I kind of like how she merged those thoughts in my mind as the image merged the two, the woman and the tree. So I think it was pretty well done like that, you know.
Yes, I do. I agree.
You know, while the cherry blossoms pour like the showers of rain, embracing the essence of love in its tiny transparent pockets. And then it does show all the petals falling. And it shows her bending as if the tree. So, I mean, I think this was just a really nicely done piece. And I thought it was a really good reflection of the prompt. So I want to thank you, Rain, for sharing with us. Absolutely. It's a great piece. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes. I think you never know what we'll find in our little adventures. Okay. We did that. Okay. Well, Dex. Never mind.
What is this on the thing where it's saying I class fuffa check? On all the poems. I don't know if I've ever seen it show up on all of them. What is that?
Well, I've only seen it on a couple of them. And I'm not exactly sure what that's supposed to be. I've seen it on a lot of different poems that look like, well, I don't know. I see it randomly. I used to think it had something to do with maybe it being type of song lyric or something more lyrical.
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe it was for a different contest or a different group. I always thought that it was based somewhere else. But
So now it's been 3 out of 4 of them.
And this contest wasn't open to any pre-writes, so I have no idea what that means. Pam, do you know?
That I do not. I have always wondered. Sorry.
Yeah, I always thought it was a little different, but now I think I'm just kind of numb to it. I don't even see it anymore. You know?
Anyway, side thought.
Okay, let's see. I read the last one. I'm going to put up a sound clip or an audio, however you want me to say it. And this one is by Stelina, and it's called Oriental Embrace by Stelina. Let me just hit that button.
Okay.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
This is
in the restful rays of a rising cherry blossom sun, Beneath rolling clouds, afloat Wedgwood skies, she strolls, her beauty eclipsing the rose-tinted dawn, serenely shrouded amidst meditative morning mist. In fragrant fuchsia fields, blushing florets of magenta hues, capriole from the boughs, frolicking in the winsome wind, her heart sings raptures of melodious symphonic sighs that dance on the breeze to aromatic arias. A goddess of spring, adorned in sumptuous silks, where'er she treads, within her tiny footsteps, spring a myriad of buds, which unfold in her gracious smile. Swimming seas of shade that glow with cerise dreams. Her enchanting eyes cast spells upon a landscape of bucolic beauty, when all nature opens her heart with an inviting embrace to the world. She gently fans whispers to awaken the slumbering silence, breathing enchantment upon the billowing cloak of daybreak. This graceful, serene scene of vigorous vermilion valleys warmly cradles the soul in gushing geisha guidance. With her tender kiss, Mother Earth rouses to respond as a new lover in sweet anticipation, blushing at the promise of exquisite ecstasy.
Wonderful work. Okay, Pam, coming to you.
All right. I apologize, but could you skip me for that one? I had a hard time hearing it. And I'll leave a written comment later.
Sure. Thanks. How about you, bud?
I thought that this was a beautiful collaboration, honestly, and I like collaborations done like this. And their writing is so in tune that I honestly can't tell, you know, and that's kind of said a lot, you know, kind of almost cliche when it comes to collaborations, but I really can't tell which was written by who or what. I mean, this seems like one piece, and it's a beautiful piece. Her enchanting eyes cast spells upon the landscape of bucolic beauty when nature opens her heart with an inviting embrace to the world. What a tale about two lovers here, and the imagery in it is just incredible. It matched that photo. You know, there's such imagery in that photograph. There's so many, between the flowers, between the landscape and the, everything that's in that photo, the colors. They really brought it out in this right between two lovers. And I'm just shocked that was written by two separate people. I thought that this was an incredible collaboration.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you 100%. I didn't realize when I introduced the piece that it is a collaboration between Stelina and Arcana Amor. And the two of them do work beautifully together. They're very in tune with one another's thoughts, and they really make it work wonderfully. If you just read this and you didn't know who wrote it, you would just think it was one poet that had just put it all together in a beautiful way. I love the imagery throughout. I love the use of colors and the thoughts. And I like that stanza you picked. And I have to say, I like the closing stanza. This graceful, serene scene of vigorous vermilion valleys warmly cradles the soul in gushing geisha guidance. With her tender kiss, Mother Earth rouses to respond as a new lover in sweet anticipation,
blushing at the promise of exquisite ecstasy. Yeah, there's a beautiful closing stanza here. And, you know, the use of alliteration again, like the last one, you know, it's just enough. You know, they got a little here and a little over there. And it's just enough to keep you kind of on your toes when you're reading, you know. Because when you get reading the alliteration, it's kind of like, well, I stop. Okay, got to slow it down a little bit. You know, make sure I don't trip over it, you know. But it's beautiful all the way through. And I like the image that they chose. Because it's an intriguing image between the background landscape and then the tree branch and then the woman in the front. It's just beautiful. Just a beautiful image and it pops. So I like that, and I think that they did a wonderful job with that. That's for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let me see. Okay, I'm going to try this next one. I'm almost
right.
This piece. Yes. Is by Luke J.R. And it's called Japanophilia, Japan. Okay. I love the image that he chose for this. And I have to say that I looked. And that first set of characters stands for irresponsibility. For centuries, let me try it again in my English. Okay, I like the image that he used. Irresponsibility. For centuries, you've encased the demonic mazes of all diversity. You don't seem to be afraid of what awaits you at the Sakura tree. Perhaps I'm mistaken for your dreams that reach out like branches. Perhaps you've awoken to the themes that break you free. Find an appropriate answer. Through every unfortunate step that I've walked upon your trail, I miss clear laws that you seem to derail. Perhaps I'm lost within the swishing of your tail. Perhaps you've awoken to the dreams that fail. Enriched from the shadows that were once encased in eternal darkness, where sakura trees would burn into bright embers along the dark seas. Through all the red liquid that mixes into those that bleed, katanas sharpened under a dying sun's sleeve. Reptilian, dragon, or perhaps a darker entity, stalks my everyday life without certainty. For I find myself walking along the trail of men with whiteness plastered upon my vision. I awoken by the dragon of all the visions. Irresponsibilities. For centuries, you walked upon the trail of fallen men. You don't seem to be afraid of what awaits you at the sakura tree. Perhaps I'm mistaken by the illusions of your drunken delusions. Perhaps you've awoken from the katana's infusions. Great answer. It is true to the wingless entity that speaks within my mind. For every woman that walks the trail of fallen men, they did not fail for the unfortunate end. Perhaps you're mistaken, my scaly dragon, friend, fiend, and poet. It gets like a tongue tied. Okay, Pam, you want to give this one a whirl?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Jean. First of all, you know, I'd like to start with the word Japanophilia. I really like that, the whole idea of you know, someone who loves everything about Japan. You know, I think there's certain places that speak to our spirits, speak to our hearts. I like how this delved into the history of Japan, the spirituality. I noticed the mention of dragons, at least I think I did, you know, which is an important part of the symbolism in the culture. You know, to me, I like that it went into the mind of someone who has completely embraced this culture and whether they were born into it or not. It was interesting, the part about the women and men and the trail had me thinking of the Trail of Tears, which of course I know is, I believe, the Cherokee Native American, but I still thought of that, which then, because I had to connect something sad in Japan, you know, I thought about the bomb, you know, in Hiroshima, and which is kind of an odd connection, but my mind, you know, I just, you know, within those lines, I felt the despair, I felt the grief of the women, and I had to connect it with something. And I, you know, Japan has a long history, so no doubt they've had a whole lot of things, you know, that have happened to them. And, you know, it just really, to me, there's a wonderful sense of admiration and spirituality for the, you know, for the culture in that poem. And wonderfully written, as always, with Luke J.R., and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Jack, tell us about you.
So, yes, the Sakura tree is the cherry blossom, just for clarification on this. But, yeah, Luke J.R. always does come through with the unique and kind of attention-grabbing title. But it's an interesting write that he does here, because he talks about loss at the swishing of your tail. You know, stalks me. It's almost like I envision, you know, like you said, when the cherry blossom loses their petals and things like this, it's from a gust of wind. It almost gives the feel of this dark entity being the dragon, being the power behind those that gust of wind that is taking this cherry blossom petals off with each gust. Is it true to the wingless entity that speaks within my mind? For every woman that walks the trail of fallen men. This is just an interesting write, and yes, I agree that possibly this has to do, possibly it has to do with, you know, just a historical write as far as the katana and just their admiration for the soldiers. I know that they have a lot of admiration for them too as well, so maybe the fallen soldiers, but it's just a very intriguing write, and I feel like it's from a place of somebody that's very in and knowledgeable of the cult, more so than I am, of the inner making, or the inner workings of the culture and the representation here. So very well done.
Right. And I hear you there, Dex. I really hear you there. I thought that this was a pretty intriguing write, actually. You know, it says, love or admiration for Japan. Okay. And then it says, fantasy, romance, thriller, sensual, hope, and nature. And I think that really sums it up, because the fantasy part is the dragon. And it's like, to me, okay, only based on the picture am I going to say this, but it's as if she's speaking of and to and about the dragon. Let me go up here. For centuries, you've encased the demonic vases of all diversity. You don't seem to be afraid of what awaits you at the sakura tree. Perhaps I'm mistaken for your dreams that reach out like branches. Perhaps you've awoken to the scenes that break you free. And that stanza there just strikes me as so many of the images on the vases and what have you are dragons. It's just such a predominant part of the culture that you see it often. And I find that to be where my mind went with that. You know, as for the irresponsibilities and the, I forget the exact wording of the next one, something about answers. I found those to be somewhat intriguing. You know, so every unfortunate step that I've walked upon your trail, I'm mistaken for your loss that you seem to derail. Perhaps I'm lost within the swishing of your tail. Perhaps you've awoken to the dreams that fail. You know, it kind of almost mixes me up some, because the swishing of your tail, of course, I take back to the dragon. And then I'm mistaken for your loss that you seem to derail. I'm a little confused by that. But it's okay, because I know, you know, as I always say, it's probably me, you know, because I do, I get like kind of turned around sometimes in my own thoughts. But it is nicely, it's a very nicely written piece. I love the references to the sakura trees. I find the fact that he pulled the katanas in, which are swords, and I found that to be interesting. So, you know, there's some kind of an altercation referred to in this, you know, a couple of times. And I, you know, I just think that he really did a nice job with the piece itself. I don't understand every bit of it, but as I always say, probably me. And, you know, poetry is so diverse. Everybody interprets it a little differently. So when I get lost, nobody should ever take that personally, because it's just me.
Yeah.
I like what you came up with. I liked your comments. I like Pam's comments. You know, we all just had a little bit of a different take on it. But the bits that I did find, I thought were really, I just thought they were very well done all the way through. So.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I thought you could almost, listening to you talk about it, I thought you could almost say it'd be taken as a little bit of like almost a loss of innocence too, in a way too. So I mean, is this woman talking to this dragon, and you know, loss of innocence could mean a lot of different things, but just growing up, you know, but yeah, I thought it was a very interesting write.
Yeah. Yeah, Luke has a great way with his pen, that's for sure. I must say. Okay, let me see what I have next. Okay, Deck, I'm going to give you this piece by Poetic Creation. And then we got another audio. So here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Oh, actually, you're going to have to read this one by him. You're going to have to read this one.
Okay. I can do that, but I'm going to do it, well, yeah, I just read the last one. I'll get you one, and then I'll read this one. That'll be good. That way we can break up our voices just a little bit.
Okay.
Here, I'm going to give you this one. This one is called Sayuri, and it's by Cedar Chapman. So whenever you're ready.
All right, so this is Sayuri by Cedar Chapman. The tea house is my sanctuary. Each night I step inside, I long to see your face and smell the jasmine perfume permeating your porcelain skin as you float across the cherry wood floor. Your crimson satin kimono seductively greets me, and I, a helpless midnight moth, recklessly rush into the blood-lit lantern. How you pour plum wine, grace of a snow swan. How you speak with words that sing in my ear. How you fill the room with the stellar melody vibrating from your shamisen. You dance with the elegant lines of a thousand siren goddesses, spreading your crescent fans like angel wings, peeking through its pleated feathers with your sultry cobalt eyes, bounding my will like a silk web so I can never leave this oasis. Kneel not, sweet Sayuri. It is I who is subservient to your beauty. My flaw is covered like cheap plaster, painted with silver and gold. You were plucked from a forbidden tree, high above the mountain clouds, to sow thrones and raise emperors. I am restless. I am weak. Tonight I shall pretend to be king. End poem.
State Lead Decks. What a wonderful piece, Peter, and thank you for sharing that with us. Pam, you want to kick this one off?
Absolutely. That was stunning. As always, I'm very impressed with Peter Chapman's writing. I love the sensuality in that, the sense of reverence. I really like how he opened it up with the tea house is my sanctuary. And because, you know, for many cultures, you know, that as we all know, tea, I mean, it's not just a drink, it's a ritual. You know, it's a way to show hospitality. It's a way to show love. I like that he brought in the scent of jasmine, which is one of my favorite scents. Now, jasmine tea tastes delicious, but I'm severely allergic to it. So that, unfortunately, is an enjoyment I can't do. But I loved hearing about it and how there's this admiration for the beauty. And the other part that I thought really fit well with, and I can't see the specific prompt he wrote to, but the theme was, besides bringing in the tea house, was bringing in the mention of the fan. Because I don't know if it's the Japanese culture or where, but I remember reading before that it used to be like certain ways that you held the fan or moved the fan communicated different messages, you know, the things that you wanted to say to, say, potential suitors or whatever. And I might be off in the culture that I'm thinking of, or it could be multiple ones. But I thought bringing in the mention of the fan was a really nice touch. So beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Pam. Great comment. Dex. Not Rex, Dex. Oh, speak of Rex. Rex is here. Hello, Rex.
Hello.
I must have been tuned in because I went to call Dex Rex that time. I don't know why. Okay. Well, welcome aboard. Good to have you. Good to have you.
Yeah, hey, Rex.
Nice. Well, let's see now. Okay, Dex, you want to go ahead and comment on that? Or?
Yeah. I thought that this was a beautiful, beautiful write. The imagery, obviously the imagery has been throughout this one, but just the overall love and admiration that this person has for the woman. Thousand siren goddesses, spreading your crescent fan like angel wings. But also kneel not, sweet, I'm sorry for mispronouncing their names, Sayuri. It is I who is subservient to your beauty. It's really flipping the gender roles, which I feel like is a huge factor in many Asian cultures. As far as the woman being subservient, and she has that kind of pose here in the photo, and in this giving to her, it is in the giving and in the admiration for her that he feels as though he's a king. So it's a very thought-provoking piece, but it's very kind of high-level thinking in raising your and elevating yourself within kind of giving and praising somebody else. So very well done.
Great comment, Dex. Now, Rex, did you hear this piece?
Yeah. It's very descriptive and with a longing look at this woman, but also hits on a sad note, especially when it hits down to that subservient angle to her beauty. And because of the language, it has that ethereal quality of one who's dipping into, especially the last couple, I am restless, I am weak, tonight I shall pretend to be king. That offers up that note of maybe dipping into an opium parlor just to feel in that essence of mood where you are actually the king in that moment and she is part of your world rather than someone that you notice.
Right. Yeah. great comment. I think that this is just a gorgeous, from top to bottom, I think it's just full of wonderful imagery and detail and thought. You know, each line is just wonderful. You know, you go from the smell of the jasmine perfume permeating your porcelain skin. You know, dancing is the crimson satin kimono that you see in the image. But without that, without the image, it's so standalone. It just has everything. You know, how you pour plum wine, the grace of the snow swan. Just, I don't know, I just think that it's really beautifully done, dancing in elegant lines, you know. But that was a great stanza there as well. You know, you dance with the elegant woman, the thousand siren goddesses, spreading your crescent fans like angel wings, peeking through its pleated feathers with your sultry cobalt eyes, bounding my will like a silk web, so I can never leave this oasis. The imagery with the fans, I mean, you could just see that unfold in front of you, because it's a very familiar and just a wonderful use of detail. I just love it. So great job, Cedar Chapman, as always, and thank you so much for sharing this with us. Great job, definitely. Okie dokie. Okay. Well, Rex, would you like to read a piece?
Sure.
I have one. Okay, here we go. I'm going to do this one. And this is by Poetic Creations. Just happened to get here just in time. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Tender is Every Bloom by Poetic Creations. Her lips were a perfect cherry blossom, and her eyes changed from a crescent moon to a full moon in the blink of an eye. Red silk over royal blue, blood spills, red is the burning fire, the village it never does stop burning, blue mournful eyes. Sorrow gave birth to countless rivers that flowed through a canyon where the light never shone. Sight is an illusion, yet she dances under pink falling snow. The moon rose and set three times before her dance was over and her night began. And home.
Nice read, Greg. Very nice. And let's see. I have another choice. Pam, you're off the hook for the first comment. Dex, how about you? You want to tell us your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a very tender write, beautifully crafted, and very well done by PC.
Nice. Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, well, first of all, wonderful read there, Rex. You know, this was absolutely beautiful. I thought there was stunning imagery throughout. I liked how there was this kind of this connection between the dance and movements of the woman and the magic of nighttime. But what really stood out to me was the line that said something along the line of her eyes went from a crescent moon to a full moon in a blink of a second. And to me, you just picture someone giving those sultry bedroom eyes with this kind of, you know, seductiveness, and then getting like and then the full moon being the representation of a wide-eyed innocence. And of course, I think that could be taken in different ways, but I thought it was, you know, like the whole write was beautiful, but that to me was an exceptional line to describe how quickly someone can alter who they are. So wonderful write and very well done.
Right. Well, great comments, everybody. And yeah, Rex, that was a great read. I thought this was a lovely write. It's not a ton of stanzas, but I think that it really suits both the prompts. When we got to that last stanza, I'm like, well, I know what picture that is right then and there. And I thought it was intriguing. But she dances under pink falling snow. Moon rose and set three times before her dance was over, and her night began. I thought that was kind of intriguing, the use of the 3 days with, you know, the moon rose and set. So it gives you 3 nights before her dance was over. That was interesting. Definitely suited that image because the image, as I said, you know, she was part of that tree. So it wasn't like it was just a woman, you know. There was more to that. So 3 nights before her dance was over kind of could come into play there, I thought. But it was nicely done. So great job, Poetic Creations, and thank you so much for sharing. Nice stuff. Nice. Okay, let's get back over now. And let me see where I'm going to go. Okay, the next one I'm going to do is I'm going to put up an audio by Teddy Farrell. And here we go.
My love for music, words she'd say, strikes a chord and with such intricate displays, her fingertips do finely adapt, love's finding enough words to describe mine as Archaea's. I'm reminded of time and life's rewinding of a solitary pose, which holds all endeavor, a kindly natured woman, to pluck so sweetly, it would dispel the theory 12th of never, resonate those notes to the group completely. Having played for so long, the distance true from east to west, the distance in between visions formed somewhat freely, each abjure, to respect the art of another, it will convene with a literary phrase. Whereas hers is music, heartfelt are words for mine, having spread the gift we both possess becomes anaclusive. This love for music mine, some verse she says.
Great job, Titus. Okay, Rex, you want to kick us off with this one?
Sure. Based on what he's sitting on, to strike the chord, her fingertips do finally adapt. It hits me with the thought of, as plucked so sweetly, it hits me with the thought of, this isn't the violin or anything else, even though it's got the fine violin in the background. It hits me with the thought of a woman and a harp. And playing those notes in such a manner that gives life not just to the notes being plucked, but to the imagery that forms in one's head in the moment. It's in the notes. Having played for so long, the distance true from east to west, the difference in the style of music, that which can entrance, the distance in between visions formed somewhat freely, each obeys you to respect the art of another. That clever interplay between the Bijou, that nice little theater of thought that one can derive from just closing your eyes and listening in the moment. The thought of music itself offering up literary phrases, which is, it's a nice pleasant thought, kind of like the listening without having to play to actually see what's going on, but still understanding the notes to the degree that it places the visions in your mind. Should I say and comment?
Are you on mute, Dean? Wow, I don't know where she went, but that was a great comment, Rex. And
all right.
So, Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a terrific SoundCloud by Titus. You know, having played for so long, the distance true from east to west, the distance in between visions formed somewhat freely. You know, what I feel here is the bond is expressing a bond between two artists, even though the art of the craft is different, it's connecting over the bond of enjoying creative expression. And him going back and forth, what his is literary phrase and hers is music, but both in which in this piece intertwined because he puts his words over music. And so it's just this reaching common ground and the intertwining of expression. So very well done.
Nice comment, X. Sorry, guys. I muted my phone because I was trying to figure out how to send something to Pam. So. And then of course, I forgot I muted the phone. I'm looking at the board saying, why can't they hear me? Typical mom stuff. Pam, you want to go ahead and comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really like what both Dexter and Rex had to say. And to me, from listening, and I do feel like I should say a disclaimer that if I'm off on anybody's poem, it's because I can't read them. But, from listening, I got the idea that there was the admiration for the person playing the music, but more so there was this idea of the love for music and the love for art in general and the idea of self-expression. On a technical level, that was just a great sound cloud because the background music wasn't too high, wasn't too low. It was very well balanced with the read. And so, just a wonderful write and performance and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. I thought this was a beautiful tribute piece by Titus. He dedicated it to Christine Pelton. Maybe I shouldn't use the word tribute. But it was a beautiful dedication. I loved Titus has a wonderful way with normally what I'm used to seeing from him is something that looks like old world style. This I just thought was just beautifully written. I like how it starts out. It strikes a chord with such intricate displays. Her fingertips do finally adapt looks finding. Enough words. Do describe mine as arcade, our shape. I remind of time and life rewinding of the solitary pose which holds all. Just that it was just so beautifully done. Wonderful wording. And I thought that, I think that he just really wrote something special. And, what a wonderful dedication to someone. Nice work, Titus, and thank you so much. Thank you, Doak. So, let me just. Yeah, I'm going next. This one is the next one. So here we go. And this is called A Fortune Cookie Treat by Mermaid. It's a little bigger, so my eyeballs. Okay, Fortune Cookie Treat. Round, smooth, red plumage. Skin tight, no opulence. Runs sweet. A fortune cookie treat, crumbling secrets, crumbling fingers, anticipating needles, kimono, silk stitches, frangipani fragrance, compressed feet, swell, succulents are quelled, cherry ripe blossoms, picture perfect muse, white leased, pan faced, geisha, rare cotton, floral discontent, misused consent, drawn like a moth to an eternal flame. A sensei gains samurai victory. Swords dance, strange, elevated, circling. And the call. Okay. Pam, you want to kick us off on this one?
Did you say my name?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, I thought this one kind of had a little bit more light, and I don't know if it was just the mention of the sugar cookie, like the phrase sugar cookie treat, but, it had a more, like, light, delightful sensuality, interestingly enough, I don't know how interesting, but the fortune cookie was actually invented in America. I don't know. It was just really intriguing, and I don't know if I'm reading it wrong, but or hearing it wrong, but almost fun. Its description of this person, and I like the idea of comparing someone to a sugar cookie because there's this kind of delicate sweetness to it, but there's also a fortune inside. So I could almost imagine that if you saw someone as your fortune cookie, you saw them potentially as someone that was part of your future. So
right.
Wonderful night and very well done.
Nice job. Nice comment. And Dex, how about you, bud?
Well, the fortune cookie treat is kind of the angle of you might not like what comes inside, because mermaids hit this up with some stunning imagery as far as the thought goes for the woman itself. Red smooth, red plumage, skin tight opulence, purse for plums, lipstick run sweet, crumbling C groups, fumbling fingers, anticipating needles. There's an idea that might some of these beauties were actually used as spies, the internal concubines, so to speak, that snuck out the secrets to the enemies of the state or the enemies of whomever this is. I like the thought with the kimono silk swishes, grand Japani fragrance, compressed feet swell, succulents on wells, and then right into cherry ripe blossoms, picture perfect muse, white lace pant face, geisha rare cottons. And then that floral discontent, misused consent, drawn like a moth to an eternal flame, had me thinking of that angle of maybe she's not just the thought of that sweet treat, but there's something that lays behind, because you finish out with a sensei gains samurai victory, sword stance strained, elevated, circling. There's a note, a quiet note to that sword being raised to come down upon the neck of that, as though she was found out as an intricate spy placed well inside.
Right. Nice comment, Alex and Pam. And Dex, how about you, bud? Where'd you go, Dex?
You might be mutated. What?
Hello, Dex. Welcome back.
Hey, I'm back. So it dropped me there quick. you know, I thought that this was a very interesting piece, and I almost wish that it kind of gave you the, you know, how like at poems at the bottom give you kind of the categories. Because I don't want to be really wrong about this, but I just get the feeling of this piece of almost a woman being taken advantage of, and I don't want to quite say rape, but you know, the compressed feet swell. It's almost as if she was impregnated and not into it. You know, maybe that's just because of in the wake of Roe versus Wade talk and things like this, that this is kind of a little bit fresh on the mind, but, you know, misused consent drawn into like a flaw. You know, I just feel like either she was drawn in by the wrong guy, or maybe a guy just took advantage of in a way. But I just get the feeling of some type of mistreatment, and the, I don't know why, when the pressed feet swell and the cherry ripe blossoms and things like this, it just kind of gave me the feeling of possibly being impregnated or something along those lines. So very well done.
Well, I think you got the discomfort right, but I think Pam's got the answer to what you're thinking there. When it says
yes, because I was texting Phil because I couldn't, I had to say something to somebody. But all of a sudden it clicked. When you said compressed feet swell, it's about the practice of foot binding, which actually wasn't that many years ago that it stopped. I mean, I think even like I saw a magazine 10 years ago where they had some of the last women, and they were obviously they were elderly women that had had the practice of where they as take the woman, a female child, and basically break the feet so they're bent in half, bind them, and that's what was considered beautiful in that particular culture. And of course, it eventually became illegal to do it. And another interesting fact about it was oftentimes more done to rich and well-off families' daughters, you know, because of the fact that it was such a status symbol that, like, I remember reading a magazine article about a woman who actually talked about how she escaped, her grandmother escaped it because her grandmother was poor and it just wasn't that important. It was more important to, you know, be able to do the work and farm and stuff. But anyway, so I don't know why it didn't click before, but thank you for bringing that part up, Dexter, because I could be wrong, but once you brought that up, I realized it probably has to do with the practice of binding the feet.
Good call. Right. I agree.
Okay. That's why we keep Pam around, because she's a smart cookie.
I'm
smart
a smart
cookie. Yeah, there you go. Jinx. Jinx, now she's done for the night. Jinx, we got to jinx Pam. No, I'm just kidding.
Funny. You know, when I looked at this, you know, it wasn't all, you know, sappy sweet. But that makes sense because when you look at the image is not a sappy sweet or innocent looking image. You know, you have a skull on the fan and she's got a very stern look on her face. But I think that the mermaid really did reflect the prompt well in her words. You know, I mean, she speaks of the lipstick runs sweet. Fortune cookie treat, you know, fumbling fingers, anticipating needles. There's a lot to this. That's right. You know, the kimonos and the compressed feet. I've looked wrapped it too if I tried it out with my feet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But
that band drew me into the dark angle.
Yes, yes. And I think that the mermaid. Yes. Right. Yeah, I think she did a great job with this. Absolutely. Just very nicely done. She didn't take it real dark, but she took it dark enough that I think she reflected the prompt well. So I want to thank you, Mermaid, for that. And much enjoyed the piece. It was a nice change for the night. A little something different. So it was enjoyable. Now, let me see. Pam, I tried to send it to you. I can't get it to go, so... I have to apologize. I was trying to send you your piece, but I can't.
Okay. I was going to say Rex has sent me poems before, like on, you know. Maybe.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said, I know Rex has sent me poems before when I didn't have internet to read.
Right.
Yeah,
I did too, but I don't know how I did it. So, Rex, if you want to try and send Pam her poem, that would be a wonderful thing.
Okay. All right. Let's see what it
is. Okay. Let me see what else I have. And in the meantime, and for my next magic trick, I am going to. Put up this piece, a poetic Picasso. And here we go. It's called Sakura. Let me hit the
You dance like a silhouette in the bosom of rows of cherry blossoms, singing to their falling petals, a sweet serenade of ancient mysticism. When the gentle breeze caresses the tip of their fragile cranberry lobes, as I smell the floral perfume of its oil exuded upon the softness of your skin. Your fingers are like the artistic brush to a colorful canvas of oriental calligraphy with the symphonic sound of the warblers' echo musical harmonies. Awakening the dormant trees of a new season and the bountiful boughs, with the wet splash of the puddles from the matinal dew. The amber ruffles of your dress are covered with the sparkles of pink. Your raven hair flows like the long locks of natural silk. A tangerine glow of the twilight reflects the purity of your beauty. As you dance with the brazen spirits of the springtime, you become one with nature, transforming into the guise of a cherry blossom. A thousand petals unfold slowly like an animated origami. When they shall sleep under the mystic shade of the night, with the bank of the river shall be full of unfolded flowers, I'll find you there, my Sakura.
Okay, Rex, do you want to start us off?
You're going to have to come back because I've been a little busy trying to do something else.
Okay, sorry. Okay, Dex, you want to take over?
Absolutely. I thought that this was an awesome SoundCloud, as always, from Frank. But you know, the part that your fingers are like an artistic brush to my colorful canvas of oriental calligraphy. There's just, I love the couplets. It just makes the piece flow beautifully and I guess I don't mean to be kept copying words off here, but your raven hair flows like the long locks of natural silk. A tangerine glow of the twilight reflects the purity of your beauty. I mean, there's just some profound elements to this piece, and it just this piece almost has radiance, an aura. I feel like that's kind of captured in the Sakura, and there's just kind of a glow and a warmth about this entire rite. And I thought Frank did a very good job of penning it.
Absolutely. And again, he used that image with the woman and the tree that I find so intriguing, and I think that he really aced it. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, that was really beautiful. It was a wonderful read and really nice background music. I love how he wove in the romance and the the sensuality and with the nature imagery. I was particularly drawn to the part that talked about being beneath the shade and on the bank of the river, and I could just picture the movement of the water and the shade of the tree. And the whole thing was just really beautiful and very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. Okay, and Rex, that brings me back to you, unless you want me to go.
Oh, right, yeah, I got this. There's a note in this that kind of had me thinking of something particular, especially with the thought of a title, My Sakura, and that was the neck. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, My Sakura. There's that note well, if you think about the song itself, it's the thought of describing his Sharona. And this is very much along the same vein, except it's done a little differently. That piece you brought out, Dex, your fingers like the artistic brush to a colorful canvas of oriental calligraphy, where the symphonic sounds that warbles echo musical harmonies, awakening the dormant tree of the season and their bountiful boughs with the wet splash of puddles from the matinal dew. I like that. And it was a correct use of oriental, because most people don't distinguish. They think oriental means the eastern end of things. But when you look at oriental, it's description of articles that make it oriental, not the people. They're Asian. And a lot of people make that mistake itself. Now, as far as you hit on the amber ruffles of your dress are covered with pink sparkles and raven hair flows like long locks of meshes. So that was a nice touch too. But down here, you become one with nature, transforming into the guise of a cherry blossom. A thousand petals then fold slowly like an animated origami. There's a nice touch to a movement and dance in that when they shall sleep under the mystic shade at night. Again, a nice touch to the closing of a leaf at the end of the evening until they open up once more with the sun the next day. And I'll find you there in my Sakura. So that note alone had to be my Sharona, just on a different tempo with the Asian flair to thought and dance.
You know, I loved this piece. I really did. I loved all the imagery throughout. I loved all his references. And, you know, my Sakura, my cherry blossom is the way I took that right there. You know, I just think that it was just beautifully written. Wonderful detail and imagery throughout. I do like the use of the couplets. You know, couplets can go one way or the other. Sometimes it just kind of makes it seem choppy. But I think in this case, each couplet reflected another aspect of basically the image, you know. And I think that made them work. But really nicely done, Frank. And wonderful audio, as always. I just think... Yeah, it's a great piece. And I think it really suited the prompt as well. So thanks for sharing it all. Okay. Thanks, Frank. He's in the room. I didn't know he was in the room. See that. I'll catch on after a while. Okay, let me go back. Figure out where the heck I am. I'm here. Okay. Pam, I think I'm going to have you go next.
All right. Let me know when you're ready for me.
Well, whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right. And this is my poem, which I don't remember the title of. And it goes like this.
Wait, I know what the title is. This is called Mystic Chapters of Cherry Blossoms by Pam Wright.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Cool. All right. She stretches a spine of wooden rings flowing, lashes fluttering Morse code to gods of the sky. Her desires are the floods of history, cherry blossoms creating a trail to heavenly realms, inner peace found in mystic chapters written upon the dawn of time. Her swaying arms are a story of love that rises to kiss the light of the moon, lamp bastions upon golden parchment, forever spread across the wind, the grace of bird feathers layer upon the earth mother to know and protect her heart and home.
What if you had your face in cell?
That sounds a little nasty.
A little what?
What if you had your face in cell? That sounds a little nasty.
Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead and finish it up. It's all good.
Oh, is it my turn to comment? Okay. A Spine of Wooden Rings. That hits me the thought of a book, older books, where they use little wood rings to actually hold the pages together because they didn't have glue. So that goes way back. Lashes fluttering like Morse code to God's disguise. There's a note to opening and reading and hitting on that note of history walking, cherry blossoms creating a trail to heavenly wells. There's a note to almost a Confucius thought for this. Inner peace found in mystic chapters written upon the dawn of time. Those angles of looking deeper within and within the not just nature, the universe itself, to see and offer up that which you can pull the heart and know and understand as that which is, as opposed to that which some want it to be.
Well, thank you, Rex. That was a very thoughtful comment. I like that.
Nice job, Rex. And Rex had that.
Yeah, I think this is a beautiful write, and much like the prompt that you captured, you know, it's almost the peace, you say here, inner peace found in the mystic chapters written upon the dawn of time. It's finding yourself one with nature, and I think that's what she is, and more so than one with just nature, but one with the universe, one with, in a spiritual sense, capturing yourself as part of it. You know, her desires are the floods of history. It's almost recognizing that you are it, you know, since the dawn of time and to the end of time, you know, it's one with you, and it's in your chapters. And I just think that this is an incredible write and very well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Pam, this is a beautiful write. I love your take on the prompt. Again, this prompt was very popular for tonight's show, and I love it because I thought that was beautiful. I enjoy it. You know, she stretches a spine of wooden rings flowing, lashes fluttering, Morse code to gods of the sky. Her desires are the floods of history, cherry blossoms creating a trail to heavenly realms. Just beautiful imagery and thoughts, just from beginning to there. I mean, the rest of it just flows right in sync with it. Just really nicely done. A very gentle and soft poem, soft thoughts. And I think that really is a great reflection of that prompt, because I find that to be a very sweet prompt, you know, very soft and kind kind of image. So wonderful job, as always. So thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you, and thank you for the inspiration.
I'm glad you found one you like. Okay, next one I'm going to put up is by Weaver of Dreams. Find the room. There we go. This is called, I think, Guan Yin.
Goddess Guan Yin appeared in a tiny village, entwined in the roots of an ancient cherry tree. The sweetest aroma wafted on a light breeze as blossoms curtsied from the boughs above. Guan Yin manifested when the sharp sting of despair drifted down as a grey mist, calling for her celestial aid. She moved, unseen, lifted on a current of scented air, to a house where crickets chirped in bamboo cages. Here a woman dwelt alone, surrounded by a miasma of loss and loneliness, which slid into the homes of others, bringing sorrow. The goddess of mercy fashioned a man who fitted her desires and left him outside her door to find.
Great job. Great audio, as always, Rebirth. Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
You know, I'm really sorry. I apologize to Weaver, but for some reason I just was having trouble with understanding. So I'll leave a written comment later.
Okay, no problem. Dex, would you like to start us off?
Absolutely. You know, this is a beautiful piece, and she shows that prompt and. You know, she tells the story behind it. And, you know, you were saying that how this is a beautiful and a warm piece. She moved unseen, lifted on a current of scented air. She captures upon the loneliness that's just this girl upon here. And it's almost, it's just this girl until somebody has found her, you know, or somebody is gifted to her. But it just tells us this beautiful story behind it, and the sweetest aroma wafted on the light breeze. She really captures the prompt very well, and I thought it was a great write, great SoundCloud.
Nice comment, Doc. And Rex, how about you, bud?
I like that thought. Guan Yin is short for Guan Xi Yin, which means the one who sees the sounds of the world. And the short version is the one who gives mercy, or the goddess of mercy, was given to them by Jesuit missionaries. So the thought of just walking this way is a perfect representation of that tree itself and the woman coming out of the tree as Guan Xi Yin. One who perceives the thoughts of the world and offers up this note of mercy for a sad woman who needs something other than the pain that she's walking in, because you look at it along these lines, that kind of pain and that kind of miasma infects the whole village. So you take the time out to offer up that one thing that is needed at the moment, brings the village back into that. That note of Zen, or where yin and yang are now in perfect retrospect of each other instead of being out of balance.
Comment. I love this piece. I love the tale of this piece. There's a definite story here. You know, she speaks of the woman, the goddess Guan Yin, being... appeared in a tiny village, entwined in the roots of the ancient cherry. She's the only one who's made mention of the roots and how they're one. And I think that it's a very gentle poem. Guan Yin manifested when the sharp sting of despair drifted down as a bird calling for her celestial aid. And she moved unseen, lifted on a current of scented air to a house where crickets chirped in bamboo cages. And she came to grant the woman, they call her the goddess of mercy, fashioned a man who fitted her the woman's desires and left him outside her door to find. It's a lovely story, you know, of, calling out loneliness. And having, this status come down and answer your prayers. And I think that it is very unique and very well written. So I have to say, Rupert, I really enjoyed this very much. And a great take on that prompt again. Nice job. Definitely. Yeah, I like it. Me like it, me like it, me like it. Okay, Rex, I have, let's try and get this last one in. I'm going to have two carriers. One is Jack Blue and one is Betty Page. I'm trying to get you to read this one there. There we go, Rex. Whenever you're ready.
Through the Gates by Liquid Mind Forever. As dawn flutters in between Snap and Rat and Obie and charcoal burn brown whiskey sky stutters, you're shy. Wisps of sundown shadow each step, unrequited and withdrawn into invisibility. Desire of a song to disappear, eternally painted through the silent intimate intimation, Mako and Big System. Silent, so soft, cricket wings against brass cage, snow settles, hidden, desire paints a forcing state, untouched, imagined, treasure, pleasure. Wisdom carves nature like witch's tongue, sharpens the dull stone on innocence passing. I dance for you, I pleasure you, whatever you wish. With plecture between my fingers, I play without fret, your imported shamisen. My world is not like your world, silent, dense, layered, stone white, misuse height, initiation, small classical gestures, torn petals. Years of childish dreams fade beneath harsh umbrella sakura, eternity folds. Ageless silk kimono bears unspoken desperation, silent, so soft, through the iron gate, butterfly on night snow, and poem.
Nice read there, Rex. Nice read. Pam, you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Rex. This just happened to be the last poem that I read before my internet went down. And I remember thinking, and I'll just repeat what I was thinking basically, was, first of all, the imagery and metaphors were powerful. I like how this speaks in the idea of a young woman, used for the pleasure of men, and how she's a prisoner. And the prison is beautiful. You know, there's so much beauty in the life that she lives, and yet at the same time, it's still a prison. And I like the metaphor of the butterfly escaping from the iron gate. It was almost as if the idea that it was her spirit leaving. And to me, I thought of, that the freedom only came when death came. I could be wrong, but that's what I thought. And as always, just a wonderful write by Liquid Mind Forever, and very well done.
Comment, Pam. And Dexter?
This kind of has the feeling are we going to go a little bit longer? I'll just make this quick. I feel like this kind of has the feeling almost to it of some type of, there's a lot of different almost human trafficking and children being put, innocence passing and children being put into it. And I don't mean to go that harsh, I guess, into human trafficking, but it gives the feel to it, so silent, so soft, through the iron gate. So this person's trapped into this lifestyle of losing their innocence, and they break through the iron gate and they finally get out there, but it's still a butterfly on the snow, on the night snow. So that's death still, right, to an insect. So even breaking out is maybe just death. Maybe they killed themselves or took their own life at the end. It's just a very intriguing rite at the end, and maybe the death is the only escape from this. So it's just a beautiful rite.
Thank you, Dexter. And Rex, how about you?
I'd say Dexter on the right track there. I got that opening one is a singularity. It talks about the girl, youthful, as dawn flooded in between sat wrapped Obi and charcoal-burned brown whiskey sky stutters. You're shy. There's a note to that. It's a view, maybe right around 13, 14, 15 years old. Wisps of sundown shatter each step, unrequited and withdrawn into invisibility. Desire of a song to disappear. It's only painted through silent intonation. Mako and Big Sister. So that, there's a note to of two in the moment with that first vignette. The second one also hits at the so soft that there's that note to you do as you're told in the moment. Hidden desire, untouched, imagined treasure, pleasure. Also that notes the virginity angle. And then the thought, wisdom causes nature like winter's tongue, sharpness and dull stone, uninnocent passing. Again, that note to that which is there for, the concubine, so to speak. I dance for you, I pleasure you, whatever you wish. With flexure between my fingers, I play without fret. There is that note to playing the music, the fret with the music, but also the fret without the voice of discontent. And your imported shamisen. Then that very big difference. My world is not like your world. That can go to between hers and his, or hers and what the outside world sees. The initiation, small classical gestures, torn petals. That goes back to history and how things work, and how that was upheld for such a very long time. And then that fifth one, the childish dreams faded because of the years of being played out on this angle. And I did like, she hits on the iron gates twice. That one up near the top was silent, so soft, cricket wings against brass cage, snow settled. There's a thought to it being out and about in a distance where she's gone from her village, so to speak, to the palace and arena where there's nothing at all around it. And ageless silk kimono bears unspoken desperation. Again, that thought to not being allowed to offer up anything in the moment because she has to stand as who of what she is in this particular realm because that is what is expected of her. Silent, so soft to the iron gate, butterfly on night snow. That does intimate, as that's brought out, maybe the thought of a suicide after such a long captivity. So like that.
Nice job, Rex. Nice job, Mark. Kim, did I ask you? Oh,
yes, you did.
Yeah, I thought I did. I thought this was a great piece by Deborah. There's a lot of wonderful imagery and thought behind this piece. I don't know, you know, a whole lot about geisha, but I did see memoirs of the geisha, and it's a process. You know, at a young age, you know, they're recruited into a home, and they're trained. You know, they're educated in many ways. They can sit and talk politics or anything else. You know, they're very intelligent women, and you know, I find that there's a lot of that in here. You know, the shamisen is an instrument. One of the images actually had one in it, and I found that the reference there was lovely in section 3 of the vignette, the number speed vignette. I'm not sure how to word that properly. And I think that was a nice touch. And then, you know, when it talks about years of childish dreams fade, because, you know, you have to, I imagine you have to grow up fast and learn, you know, keep up, step, so you can become a good geisha, you know. You need to learn all the lessons and remember all that you're taught. This one here, years of childish dreams fade beneath harsh umbrella sakura. And it prompts, the first prompt that she chose, prompt number one, is holding the umbrella with the cherry blossoms on it. And as pretty as the picture is, you know, there's a harshness to the reality of the life they live, you know. So I think that she really hit a very many aspects of the images. I think that she did a lovely job with it, you know, Kimona's. But this one here, silent, so soft, through the iron gate, butterfly on night snow. You know, I think that's an exit. I think it's a transformation. Once they get through the iron gate and they're free, whether it's, you know, because they're wed or they've come to an age that they can leave on their own, it's a butterfly. The butterfly is a transformation. And we know that, you know, a butterfly is not going to be on the snow, so it's definitely just an exit and a release. And I think that's a wonderful way to end it. And I think it was a beautiful job, Deborah, and I want to thank you for sharing with us all. And there we go. And that, my friends, is it for this evening, poetry-wise. I do want to say, as I said, we do have two carryovers. We have Betty Page and Jack Blue. I'll move those over to Friday night. And that's not too darn bad, actually. So had a lot of great poetry tonight, and I want to thank you guys for calling in. Dex, thank you for coming to the rescue. Pam, sorry you had no electric, but I appreciate you being here. Rex, I appreciate you calling in. You know, it would help. And so it was a great night, and I enjoyed it. So I hope you all have a wonderful night and a great day tomorrow. And I will see everyone at 1 o'clock tomorrow for Keeping It Brief. So I hope you all have a great night. Get some rest. And yes, we'll do this again soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Night.